It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I am your host, Ebro, and riding with me, as always, for this DFS game-by-game breakdown is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. What's up, Adam?
Chilling, man. Just watching this Thursday night game between Seattle and Arizona, and ready to talk about this slate because it is one where we're going to have to follow news even more carefully than ever. I mean, Thursday afternoon was, this guy didn't practice. And then right after we record the podcast talking about the Lions, oh, by the way, DeAndre Swift has a concussion. So it's shaping out to be a injury-filled Week 11.
Yeah, dude, it's been absolutely crazy. I mean, with all of the stuff coming out and everything, we're trying to keep our heads like on a swivel, trying to make sure that we're not missing any of this injury news and guys just left and right missing practice. But I don't want to bury this too far, man. We have got a fantastic guest from FTNDaily.com, our own Javi Perlezo. You can follow him on Twitter at JPerlezoDFS. Javi, what's up, man?
Derek Brown, my man. It's a great day. You know why it's a great day? Because I got paid in full for a
bet. Oh, you going to bring that up?
That's why.
You walk into my house and you bring this up? Oh, my God.
It was perfect timing. I planned this day around being on your show so I can fulfill the bet so I can talk about it. That's why I did it.
Gosh, man, I can't believe it. All right, fine. For everybody listening at home, yes, Javi and I made a bet. It was a bad bet on my part. It was a negative. It was not a plus EV move from the very second that it came out of my mouth. But hey, sometimes we make bets and we make moves just to kind of rub it in somebody's face if it does hit, which I thought the chances of it hitting were slim, and it did not hit. So I had to buy Javi one fantastic faux lunch. I owned up to it. I am a man of my word, and I paid my bet. Javi, I love you, dude, but I do hope you have indigestion right now.
Wow, that's not what I expected at all.
All right, man. Look, we are going to break this all down. Going to roll game by game for DFS for Week 11. Before we get all of this kicked off on for today's show, we have got to bring up, look, I know that all the holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving's right around the corner, as is Christmas. I get it. So we got to talk about a little bit of tree maintenance, making sure that all of your jingle bells are nice and fresh for the holiday season. So we got to bring up here, support for Fade the Chalk is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about here. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest trimmer for your downstairs ever created. They just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. This thing can roll for 90 minutes straight. It is even waterproof, so you can handle all these things and stuff in the shower. So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code FTN at manscaped.com. That's right. Go to manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping with the code FTN. All right, guys, let's break all this down. Let's roll into these games, man. The first one on the docket has got to be the Titans and Baltimore Ravens. Tennessee heads to Baltimore. The over-under is set at 49.5. Baltimore is favored by 5 in this game. Javi, what plays are sticking out to you, dude? Tell me.
I mean, could this be the return of the Lamar Jackson from last season? Or is the rumors of him being hurt really true? Because, I mean, he has just been bad from a fantasy perspective. Anytime you play Lamar Jackson, he does not hit value. The issue I have with him is he is the most expensive quarterback on DraftKings. The issue I don't have with him is I think he will garner lower ownership than expected. So Lamar Jackson stands out off the get-go, and he's like the main guy. I mean, Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown have not been good this year, but if I had to choose one over the other, Mark Andrews is going to be chalk because of his price. So I prefer to go the Hollywood Brown side. But that's my initial thoughts, D-Bro.
Dude, I mean, maybe I'm just eating the chalk with Mark Andrews, man. He stuck out to me like a sore thumb. I mean, I know his price is terrible. I just feel like the ceiling is absolutely there, and the matchup is there. Like, you're talking about, could this be the return of Lamar of 2019? I think if that's the case, man, look, Tennessee is 29th versus the tight end. They have been eaten up just religiously by tight ends. It's basically, if you're a tight end and you get a ton of targets, you're going to crush them. Like, Noah Fant had 81-1. Tyler Eifert, the ghost of Tyler Eifert, at 36 and a touchdown. Kyle Rudolph caught a touchdown. Darren Fells had 85-1. Eric Ebron went for 50 yards. Jimmy Graham, I know you hate yourself some Jimmy Graham, had 55 yards and a tutty. Dude, I think that Mark Andrews, we see some glimmers of hope in 2019 Mark Andrews. I don't hate the Hollywood call, man, either, because I think unless you're worried about you're worried about Malcolm Butler, which I think he is going to follow. He's been playing mainly one side of the field. I think that he's going to see more of Miles Boykin. I think Hollywood could get loose in this matchup, man. I really love Andrews, and I can't stop this fast enough to tell you that, like, this could be – where do you think Derrick Henry comes in at this week? Because I think Derrick Henry can smash Baltimore this week. Where do you think his ownership comes in at, Javi?
I mean, my initial projections have him under 5%. But again, I mean, this Baltimore defense, I agree. They're overrated, and they're not as good as they used to. But being the third highest-priced running back on the slate, he's like in the middle of nowhere, because it goes Dalvin Cook for $9,000 is the second highest, and then $7,200 for Aaron Jones. So he's like in that middle spot of no man's land, and I think he's going to go overlooked, and I like the call. I mean, I think it's sneaky. I think it's going to – it's going to be huge leverage. But the thing about Derrick Henry is anytime I play him, he does not do well, D-Bro. What the heck? The one week I didn't play him, he scored 40 points.
Dude, the same thing. I faded him in that. We had Elliot on for that show, and we were doing on that one. I mean, it was a ton of fun, man. Adam, what is your thoughts for this game? Before I spit my love letter and the reasons why I love Derrick Henry this week, what do you think, man? Anybody standing out to you besides some of the players? Or, hell, throw it on top, man. Give us some more love on some of these players we've already discussed.
Yeah, so Derrick Henry is – I love the fact that he's priced where he is. Like, he is not cheap, and he hasn't really been that good the last 2 weeks. But this is really week-specific, right? I mean, Baltimore is potentially without Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell. We saw the Patriots run all over them last Sunday night. And if you remember back to the start of last year when they were without Brandon Williams for, I think it was the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, they got worked on the ground. I mean, Nick Chubb had a game, and Nick Chubb's kind of a similar player in fantasy to Derrick Henry, right? He's going to get his 20 carries, not be involved in the passing game much, and it's going to break off long runs. And Nick Chubb torched this team, which really is the same defense, except they didn't have Calais Campbell last year, but he's not practicing right now anyway. And he had 20 carries for a 165 and 3 touchdowns in this meeting last year without Brandon Williams. So if Williams is out and Calais Campbell's out, it's a massive, massive, massive upgrade for Derrick Henry, who, yeah, like, especially on DraftKings at 8K when he's not involved in the pass game, like, people still won't want to go to him. So I like him in tournaments a lot. And then it's going to be hard to not get to Mark Andrews, A, because of the matchup. Nick Boyle is out, and, like, Nick Boyle was leading the Ravens in receiving for a couple weeks in a row. Like 2 weeks ago, he led the team in receiving. So, like, Mark Andrews already, I think, is leading all tight ends in targets per route run. And now he's probably going to see even more snaps. And sure, he'll run block a little bit. But, you've talked about how bad the tight ends, or how good the tight ends have done against Tennessee, D-Bro. And it's just a terrible week for tight end again. It's even worse, like, because Kelsey's not on the main slate. We have all these injuries still. Darren Waller's not on the main slate. So it's really kind of Andrews or bust at the high end.
Well, and the other thing about it is, how many tight ends can you say on this slate, like, any of them, have the type of ceiling that Andrews does? Like, I don't know any of the other tight ends on this slate. Hell, I mean, maybe one or two that could give you 100, like that Travis Kelce type of ceiling, where it's like 102 touchdowns.
None of them
Andrews
do.
Can do that. And I don't know if any of the other tight ends on this slate
I think the
do,
only one
that, so.
That might is like Hockenson, but we talked about it on our earlier podcast on Thursday, how the concerns we have for Detroit right now, because Stafford has a, you know, partially torn ligament in his thumb. Like, yeah, it like, talent-wise, there's players there that have, like, talent to have those games, but, like, they're not involved as much as Mark Andrews. They're not running routes like Mark Andrews, and they're not getting targets inside the 10-yard line like Mark Andrews. So I think those are the two plays that stand out from this game are Andrews and Henry, and then one of these games, Marquise Brown might have 102 touchdowns, but I've been on the buy low on Marquise Brown train all year, and now I'm just over it. Like, they have no vertical passing game right now in Baltimore.
Yeah, I want to believe, man. I've been in on previous weeks. I'm not saying that I won't go that direction because, I mean, I've looked at Marquise. I've looked at Andrews. If nothing else, I like the mini correlation with Andrews and Henry on the other side. And speaking again about Derrick Henry, man, like this Baltimore Ravens team, you talked about the two injuries. They could be without some of their guys on the D-line. I mean, the other thing is they showed cracks in the pavement before any of that even came up this week. Like in weeks 1 through 5, they were allowing an average of 3.6 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Now, over the last, like, week six, dude, they're 31st in explosive run rate allowed, which is all in Derrick Henry's wheelhouse, as well as they're giving up 5.5 yards per carry to opposing running backs, even if you take out. So if you wanted to even, like, play this whole game of, we'll take out the biggest run, the longest run, and you wanted to play that. I know, but people are going to say, but Miles Sanders had a 74-yard run and all of that. I mean, even if you take that out, it still goes up from 3.6 yards per carry to, since week six, it goes up to 4.5. So there's still cracks in the pavement here, man, especially if they're going to be without other defensive linemen on top of that. Yeah, dude, I think Henry is going to be good leverage. We know that Dalvin Cook, and we're going to get to all these other games. We know that people are going to want to play Dalvin Cook. We know that people are going to want to play Aaron Jones and other running backs up there, or Alvin Kamara. Derrick Henry, and like Javi already mentioned, I think that he's going to go overlooked if he smashes and has one of these, like, slate-breaking Derrick Henry type of games of, like, 5%. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's going to break things wide open. So I love Derrick Henry on this. Moving over, you brought up TJ Hockenson, man. Moving over to this next game, the Lions are heading to Carolina. I mean, this is just injury city, man. The over-under is set at 47. Detroit, so this opened and Carolina was actually favored by 1.5. This is actually flipped, and now Detroit is favored by 1.5, which still, it's close enough, it's basically a pick'em. I mean, whatever, but it is notable there. Adam, what are your thoughts on this game? I know we discussed this on the previous podcast. I mean, there are injuries upon injuries upon injuries here, man. Talk to us a little about what's going on with all of that, and then are you willing to play anybody from this game considering everything?
Yeah, so it's brutal. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, they're still not going to rule him out yet, but it sounds like he's unlikely to play, and that's going to impact, you know, DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. We'll see if it's Walker or Will Greer. I hope it's Walker because Will Greer is really, really bad. And then Detroit, I mean, we talked about it. Stafford is limited, and they're saying he's, like, super limited. Like, he's not even throwing hard in practice or throwing down the field with that thumb. And then Galladay, who was limited on Wednesday, was a DNP on Thursday, added with the fact that Amendola didn't practice. And now DeAndre Swift, out of nowhere, gets listed with a concussion, which you see guys get placed in the concussion protocol on Thursday. 99% of the time, those guys ain't playing. So I would be really surprised if DeAndre Swift was active for this game, which sucks because he was setting up as a smash play, obviously. He was gaining a lot of traction, and a lot of people were probably going to be on him. So this game just got, like, super upsetting all of a sudden. I do think Mike Davis is in play. I know he was a massive disappointment last week, but he got injured as well. Returned to the game. He's still expected to be the lead back with Christian McCaffrey once again out. And it's mainly just a matchup play. Like, they got behind in the Tampa Bay game. It was a terrible matchup. And, like, hindsight, yeah, I mean, he was bad. But at 4K, you weren't not going to play him. He's obviously priced up this week, but, I mean, Detroit's run defense is just awful. I mean, they gave up 3 combined touchdowns to the Washington backs last week. They are bottom 5 in receiving yards per game allowed to running backs. We know Davis is going to see targets. Maybe not as many if Bridgewater's not under center, but he'll still be involved. And then they're one of the worst goal-to-go run defenses in the NFL. They give up the most rushing touchdowns per game on the season. So I just think it's a really good spot for Davis. People probably won't be on him. And with some of these injuries right now, like maybe they just, you know, rely on the run with Teddy Bridgewater out. So I like Mike Davis. And then, like, I like the matchup for the receivers from Carolina, but are you going to trust the quarterback play?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing, and that's what I really want to ask you, man. Like, I found myself gravitating to Mike Davis, like, with all of the injuries. The matchup is still great, but do you trust or does it hurt your confidence in even playing a full snap Mike Davis, like, versus this defense? And I'm going to see where Javi stands on this as well, but are you willing to roll, or are you a little bit worried about Mike Davis? Because if we're worried about the offense as a whole, that also comes into play about their ability to move the ball, how much they're going to be in the red zone. And does that hurt Mike Davis? Even if he is, like, because it's not like he's 4K. It's not like he's 5K.
Yeah, he's not he's cheap.
He's a little more expensive. He's not cheap. If you're worried about their ability to move the ball and how often they're going to be in the red zone, because we don't know what P.J. Walker is going to look like. Like, we saw a very small snippet, and it wasn't like he looked freaking amazing and he's blowing the doors off, and everybody's like, woohoo! P.J. Walker season, baby! Like, that's not the case, man. So are you worried about Davis in that respect just because of the offensive environment?
Not too much, because, like, I do think, I do still think he's going to see, you know, a 70% snap share and 20 plus touches. And, like, at the end of the day, like, 20 touches against this defense is enough for me to consider you. I do expect their offense to be, you know, not as good, but it's not like they were a fine offense with Teddy Bridgewater, but it's not like they were getting, you know, consistent, you know, red zone opportunities every single game among these league leading offenses. And like I said, like, there's opportunity for him in the passing game if they're not getting scoring opportunities, because Detroit, we saw what they just allowed to McKissick and Antonio Gibson, and they're allowing 53.7 receiving yards per game to running backs. That's the most in the NFL. So, yeah, it's not as appealing with Bridgewater out, but, you know, from this game, I mean, you look at it right now across the board, I think he's clearly standing out as the top play, probably from either side. And we'll see who gets listed as a starter. If it's, we're not playing P.J. Walker, are we?
Hell no.
Okay, I just wanted to ask.
God, no. I mean, Javi, am I wrong? I know you and I go back and forth on Blazing and Slack and stuff. I mean, first of all, tell me, are you crazy enough to roll P.J. Walker? And then what are your thoughts on Mike Davis?
But yeah, if I'm doing 10 lineups, right, which I usually am, I will not. But if I do 15 lineups, I'll do a P.J. Walker. The guy was an XFL sensation.
I mean, we're definitely not playing Will Greer if he starts. But P.J. Walker, I could see. But definitely not Will. Yeah. Do not play Will Greer if he starts.
No, Greer, for God's sakes, no. No Greer. I'll play the defense against Greer before that happens. I'll play Detroit defense, even though every time I play Detroit punt defense, it doesn't really work out. But, no, listen, P.J. Walker, I'm willing to take a shot. For $4,800, D-Bro, why not, right? It saves up salary. You can pay up maybe two stud running backs or a stud running back and receiver. I think It depends how many lineups you're doing. If you're doing 150 lineups, you definitely put P.J. Walker in your player pool. I mean, this Detroit defense is not good on the ground and in the air. So for me, I like P.J. Walker to a certain extent, right? If you're doing more than 10 lineups, yes, play a P.J. Walker, and I'll probably catch myself there. The problem is I don't know who to stack him with. I don't know who he's going to favor. I feel like they're going to stack the box, which doesn't really concern me too much. But P.J. Walker, he could be thrown to his running back a lot. I don't know if you guys watched the XFL at all. I actually thoroughly enjoyed it, unlike some others. Mm-hmm. But I thought this time around was good, and I thought he did fairly well. And he loves to throw to his running back. So if you caught that, you'll know that. He a lot of target, over 10 targets to the running back and a lot of games for him in that. And I was looking up that stat just to make sure I did. I like the Mike Davis call. You know, he's obviously going to be priced. I wish he was 4K this week, but we're not getting that luxury again. He's going to come in at lower ownership. He's projecting right now under 15% for me. But the question is, what do we do with Swift? Swift is the one that's mm-hmm. interesting for me. I think if he plays, you have to play him, but he's going to be chalk.
I'd be shocked if he plays. Yeah. Totally shocked.
Me too. These mid-injury reports scare me, so I don't think he does either. So the question is, do we go carry on? Do we go AP? And I'm not feeling good enough to do that. So it worries me a lot. This game is almost a full fade for me, if that's the case. Who knows what's happening with Stafford? We literally have to fall. Because, again, this is game stack viable in my eyes. Honest.
Dude.
This has the potential. But there's so many question marks that I don't know if I want to take the risk for that, D-Bro.
The cojones are nice and shiny from all the manscaping, but, dude, they're not big enough for me to play carry on or AP. I can't go there, man. Like, there's too many other running backs or even wide receivers that have a high ceiling that I just can't do that. Like, and to your answer about or your question about DeAndre Swift, if he plays, which, oh, my God, man, it's so disconcerting. Like, he enters the week and we don't hear anything. Like, he didn't even leave the game, to my knowledge. And all of a sudden, now he's in concussion protocol. It's like, what kind of evaluation, like, standards did you have during that game to where we're just now finding out or he's just now getting symptoms? Like, I know these things sometimes come up, but, like, damn, man. I think it's more on the side of doubtful that he plays. If he does play, yeah, I mean, he's in the player pool, man. It doesn't change the matchup. If he clears concussion protocol and he does play, then maybe we get him at a little bit lower ownership just because people move off of him during the week. I doubt that's really the case because people are super high on DeAndre Swift. And for good reasons. Like, Panthers have been bad against the run all season long. Like, depending on whatever metric that you look at, man. Like, so I think as long as he's playing, it shouldn't change our viewpoint of him. If he's good enough to play, then he's good enough to be in your player pool. And, yeah, if you want to eat the chalk with him, that's fine. Just pick a different stack, look at ownership percentages, and make your lineup different, you know, elsewhere. Like, I don't get as caught up about running back chalk as other people do because we all look at it from, like, a total ownership standpoint for your lineup. And so you can play these chalky plays like the Mike Davis of last week. You can play these chalky plays and just get different elsewhere and look at like the entirety of your lineup and your correlations and stuff. And don't like, obviously don't play like a mega chalk stack and then play DeAndre Swift. If he comes in at like freaking 40%, then yes, you're probably going to be cutting like with a lot of other people, but that's probably not gonna be the case, man. So just be different elsewhere. Adam, any other thoughts on this game before we move on?
I might sprinkle in some DJ Moore just because I think he can absolutely destroy Desmond Trufant. But there's obviously red flags with the quarterback situation. And yeah, if DeAndre Swift sits, like, if you were to pick one, I would pick Kerryon Johnson because the Panthers play a lot of zone and that leads to a lot of receiving targets for running backs, but you don't want to play the Lions running backs if DeAndre Swift's out. So yeah, this game's on the slate first open. It was like, all right, cool. We got a couple vulnerable defenses, some good offensive players, and now it's just like, eh.
I know, man, because all these injuries, this game just feels like it's going straight into the pooper. Like, the total, I'm surprised it's still as high as it is. I won't be surprised if it continues to fall as we get closer to Sunday. So, moving over to a very interesting game. Pittsburgh is heading to Jacksonville. The over-under is set at 46. Pittsburgh is favored by 10.5. Javi, what are your thoughts here, man? We're seeing Ben Roethlisberger coming off of a really, really stout game. These wide receivers have been balling out, man. Do you have a lot of interest in this game?
Yes, I do, actually. But here's my thing. We're banning James Conner until further notice. I understand Jacksonville is terrible against the running game, but it seems like they don't want to unleash James Conner. Now, me saying that, he's probably going to score 3 touchdowns this week. But no, for me, I want to target Big Ben here with the receivers. This is double stack viable. I don't want to touch Jacksonville. I'll let everybody else get cute. I get it. James Robinson's looked good. He's looked better with Luton at the helm. But I don't trust him. I don't trust him at all, especially against this Pittsburgh defense, which could be exploited on the passing game more than anything else. But for me, it's Big Ben and double stacking receivers here. The reason I say double stacking is because we don't know which one is going to go off this game. I'll tell you this much. Deontay Johnson is one of my favorite plays this week. I just think that this is just a killer matchup for the Steelers, especially with Ben. It seems like Ben is shaking off the rust now, 10 weeks into the season, which is weird. But he looks great out there. He looks comfortable. He's running a very smooth offense. And all these receivers are projecting under 10% ownership. I don't know if that holds, but they have to get to 28 points somehow, right? And I think it's going to be in the air through Big Ben. So double stacking it. And I honestly don't like – I mean, I'm okay if you don't bring it back with another Jaguar. I think just double stacking the Steelers is the way to go. It comes with risk. It's going to be so different because people are like, oh, I put two receivers, I got to run back with a Jaguar here. No, you don't. I think this is a perfect position to go. Big Ben, I love Deontay Johnson, and then you can go Claypool or Juju. I think Claypool's priced a little too high right now for the amount of targets he's seeing. I get it, he went off last week, but I think it's a Juju and Deontay week for me more than anything, but I'll have shares of all three.
I mean, I was big in on their game last week, and I was like, all right, what two am I going to stack? Who am I going to run it with? And the answer was just yes. Like, that was the answer. I mean, Deontay had like almost 100 yards in the first half. Claypool got into the end zone twice. Juju gets into the end zone. I mean, damn, man. Like, I'm with you, man. Like, I'm firmly on this game. There are so many things to love. We have seen the Steelers' passing rate in neutral scripts. Hell, even in positive game scripts, going up week after week. So the people are like, all right, well, Pittsburgh is favored by 10.5. Why are you going to stack the passing game? And it's like, there's two things about that, though. Like, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when people were like, I don't want to play Patrick Mahomes because they're going against the Jets and they'll stop passing. And, dude, they got to get up.
Can we abandon that thought process, please? 100%. Like, 100%. Like, I don't know if I want to play Justin Herbert this week. They're facing the Jets. I'm like, y'all really think Kalen Blige is scoring 4 touchdowns and Herbert's just not going to score? And they're going to be like, all right, well, we're done. And that's the other thing with the Steelers, dude. Mike Tomlin is, like, low-key one of the best coaches for fantasy because what does he do for the most part? He uses one running back. He's really, really direct with his injury reporting and stuff like that. And, oh, by the way, when they're ahead in games, they don't just coast. Look at last week. This is not a this-year thing either. Tomlin's done this for years. Back when they had Le'Veon and an AB, he doesn't coast. Look what they did last week against Cincinnati. They kept throwing. And look, you talked about the neutral game script and everything, but, like, what's been the trend the last couple weeks? James Conner in the running game has been bad, and they've abandoned it. And if Jacksonville, who you can run on, but they've been better lately, they just held Aaron Jones to a really low scoring game. Like, if they can't run the ball, it doesn't matter if they're favorites because Big Ben's going to throw 40 times again. Now, having said that,
it doesn't matter anyway because they got no damn cornerbacks, dude. They have nobody that can cover these receivers.
Right, and I think DraftKings, I don't understand what their thought process is with Deontay Johnson, why they don't like pricing this guy up, but all he does is lead the team in receiving every time he plays a full game. He's had double-digit targets in every full game, and he's clearly the leading, you know, target guy in the red zone. I know Claypool gets his rushing touchdowns. I like all of them. I think Juju's actually my least favorite. C.J. Henderson just got placed on IR, by the way, for Jacksonville, so, like, that bodes really well for Chase Claypool, who would have probably lined up against him the most because Claypool lines up, Claypool lines up everywhere, but 41% of the time he's lined up on the right side of the formation. So I would rank them Deontay, Claypool, and Juju, but, yeah, I mean, if Big Ben throws the ball 40 times again, they're all going to eat.
Well, the thing about it is they're moving everybody around. So, like, Deontay plays 42% on one side, 39% on the other. Sidney Jones is the best cornerback that Jacksonville has, and that's not saying a ton. He's playing pretty well, but, like, they're moving Deontay around. So, like, C.J. Henderson, like you're talking about, going on the IR. Now Chris Claybrooks, who can't stop anybody at all, is coming back into the starting lineup, and he's going to be matched up in primary coverage 40% of the time with Chris Claypool. Dude, like, Chris Claybrooks, 16 targets, 12 receptions, and a 150 passer rating allowed. Like, basically, it's hey, throw it at me. I'll allow receptions. Like, damn. Like, yes. So my whole thing is, like, I love Deontay. I'm absolutely behind that. If you want to pay up for Juju, that's fine. But I think that Javi has coined it. It is hashtag hedge life with this.
Hedge life.
If you want to roll, like, my primary with this lineup is I want Claypool. That's the guy that I want to rotate people around. So if you want to go Claypool and Juju, or you want to go Claypool and Deontay, and you want to pull a Javi special and hedge life the shit out of this game, I'm all on board for that, man, because if Big Ben is throwing 3 to 4 damn touchdowns, dude, some of these receivers, multiple receivers, are catching touchdowns, or some receivers are going for two touchdowns. So that's what we're talking about. Javi brought up double stack in this game. When you double stack a quarterback, you're basically saying he's going to go for 303, and if he goes for three touchdowns, these are the two guys that I think are going to account for most of that, if not all of that. So I am totally fine with nobody having a run back if they do want to run it back with a guy. For me, it's Keelan Cole, because Pittsburgh can be had on the outside, but those deep routes, and we talk about them being terrible versus explosive passes, you need time in the pocket. You have to be able to sit back there under pressure and get those passes down the field. I don't know if that's going to be the case for Jake Luton this week. So Keelan Cole, we've seen him have some ceiling weeks. Like, the dude has multiple 20-point games in his basket. It doesn't matter. Like, Mike Hilton is trending towards playing. It doesn't matter whether it's him or Sutton in the slot. They both suck. Like, they're both terrible. Like, 95 and 103 passer ratings allowed. The way that you attack the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last two seasons is either deep down the field, if you got time to do that, or you eat them up via the slot. I do want to bring up Eric Ebron in this spot, because Jacksonville's been horrible against the tight end. So even if you wanted to go, and we're talking about hedge life and the shit out of this game, if you wanted to run Ebron because tight end is a wasteland this week, and you wanted to get some more correlation if you were stacking Big Ben, I don't hate that call, because Jacksonville is 23rd against the tight end. They're allowing the third most fantasy points per game, seventh most yards, and second most touchdowns to opposing tight ends. But, Adam, is there anybody else on the Jacksonville side, or are you with Hobby and you're just like, do not want a Jaguar in my lineup?
No, I don't hate Keelan Cole. I mean, what, seven targets last week? He's 3,800. LaVisca didn't practice again on Thursday, so looking like he's trending towards sitting. And, yeah, like, Conley and Chark are running a lot of downfield routes. I just don't see, with Pittsburgh's pressure rate, how they're going to get the ball to them consistently. And that's going to lead to Keelan Cole's primarily in the slot. So I like that. I'm not playing James Robinson. You know, I love James Robinson. I love the fact that he's going to get, you know, anywhere between 18 and 25 touches, but just not against his front defense. I will say I'm going to sprinkle in James Conner in tournaments, because everybody's going to think how we're kind of thinking of, okay, Conner's been bad the last 3 weeks, maybe really 4 weeks, and the Steelers passing game is on fire, and they should do whatever they want in this game. But, you know, a nice leverage play would be James Conner, who's still getting the majority of the work.
So moving on to one of my favorite games of the week. I love this game from a lot of different angles. The Patriots are heading to Houston. The over-under is set at 49. Patriots are actually favored by two. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, because the Texans can't seem to win a ball game, but that does surprise me a little bit. Adam, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yes, yeah, so I am kind of throwing the Texans Week 10 game out. It was terrible conditions in the wind. The game was delayed, and like both passing offenses, just it was kind of like the Vegas and Cleveland game, right? It's in Cleveland again, same weather. It was bad. I like a lot of plays in this game. I am not afraid to go back to Duke Johnson. I wasn't like, you know, smashing. We talked about it, D-Bro. Like, if you weren't going to play David Johnson at 5K, then do you have to play Duke? And I didn't really play him. I think I played him in one lineup. But, I was encouraged by the workload. He's handled every running back carry since David Johnson suffered the concussion in Week 9. He still ran, like, 23 pass routes. He only was targeted once, and that'll happen when you're playing with Deshaun Watson, who doesn't, you know, typically target his running backs at a high rate. But you can run all over the New England Patriots. I think that Duke at 5,400, like, can get 20 touches. So I like him. I like Deshaun Watson too. I think he's too cheap at 6,500. This Patriots defense is not the Patriots defense of the last couple years. They obviously had guys opt out before the season started. Then they've had injuries. Their defensive line is really bad, which is why their run defense has been bad. And Stephon Gilmore hasn't been in there. They also play man defense at, I think, the sixth highest rate in the NFL. And what do I talk about all the time, D-Bro, with mobile quarterbacks? You like playing them against man defense because their back's turned. And Deshaun Watson's been running a lot lately, especially since Bill O'Brien was fired. He's had at least 25 rushing yards in each of his last five games, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that adds up. It really does. 8, 10, 7, 4 rushing attempts during that span. So I love Deshaun Watson here. You know exactly who to pair him with, which is another reason why I like playing Deshaun Watson, because Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks are both getting 8 to 10 targets a week. So, yeah, I really, really like the Texans in this game. I don't think people are going to be on them very, very much because they were bad last week, and people still hold the Patriots this standard of being an elite defense. And right now, with the way things are looking in 2020, they're just not.
Yeah, dude, I mean, I'm with you, and I gravitate more to the Texans side. Like, I think Will Fuller is going to eat this secondary up. I mean, Jason McCourty on the outside, so Fuller's playing one side on 44% of his snaps. Then he's rolling into the slot. Like, literally, you're talking about the exact two matchups you want in this defense. Like, if Gilmore's not back, have we seen any updates? Is there anything trending towards, like, that he probably will be back? I mean, have y'all heard that?
No, we haven't heard anything.
And so, like, dude, so if it's Jason McCourty, like, McCourty's been horrible in pass coverage. 20 targets, 3 touchdowns on 20 targets. We all know the Patriots cannot defend the slot, so if Fuller's going to roll between McCourty and the slot, you're talking about the dude has 69% of his snaps. Nice. Versus 2 terrible cornerbacks. Like, Jonathan Jones has not been playing good. 3 touchdowns and a 97 passer rating allowed. Like, I think that Fuller, if I'm picking one of these wide receivers, which I think it's viable for you to go Watson and just Fuller and skinny this thing up. And on the other side, like, if people want to play, like, I'm not in on the Duke Johnson, because the thing about it is like, I get he's going to get the workload, and I get he's the only guy. We've seen, like, obviously last week, it wasn't David Johnson that's the problem. This offensive line can't block for crap. Like, they're terrible. And even with a Duke Johnson getting all the snaps, it's not a player that I have a ton of interest in.
How can your quarterback be Deshaun Watson and your running scheme on offense is so bland? Like, they just run right up the gut every play. And it's been this way for 2 years now. It's so bad.
It's not good, man. And they're not blocking. Like, last year, you could at least say, like, the Texans were run blocking very well. They're not run blocking well at all this year. Like, it's just bad. So I don't have any interest in Duke. On to the New England side, like, I get people are going to want to play Damian Harris. Like, I understand the play, and I get he's got all these 100-yard rushing games. The dude has literally no pass game role to speak of. And if you look at even in the red zone, like, since week 7, Cam has 10 red zone rushing attempts. 10! Damian Harris only has 5. And then you have Rex Burkhead sneak in there for 4. That's just not a situation I want to mess with, because then you're tilting your face off. It's like something out of, like, Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark. Like, your face is melting straight off when they get 3 rushing touchdowns and Cam gets 1 and Rex gets 2. And you're like, but I wanted to play Damian Harris because Houston's bad on the ground. That's true. But if you get no touchdowns and you get 100 yards, empty calorie yards from Damian Harris, you're not taking out a GPP with that. It does not matter, man. The guy that I love on the Patriots side is Jakobi Meyers.
Yeah,
he's getting a ton of targets. Ton of targets. And it doesn't matter what you're talking about. He's going from the outside to the slot. And, like, Murray in the slot for the Texans has been horrible. Bradley Roby is probably, if he shadows him, good. Woohoo! Kudos, man. Because he can't guard anybody. Like, 103 passer rating, 3 touchdowns. Bradley Roby is terrible. So give me all the Bradley Roby on Jakobi Meyers. Like, I love that, and I love his price tag. Javi, do you love this game as much as we do? And I've heard some Cam love out there this week. Are you willing to go with Cam, or are you on the Texan side?
No. So I like to do this normally. I like trivia. I'm a big trivia guy. So I have a little piece of trivia for you. All right. There's a guy. All right. In this game that has had at least over 12 points in every game except one, 12 DraftKings points, that is. And then that was one time that he had 12. And then other than that, it's over 15. Name that player.
Ooh. Dear God in heaven. Adam, you got any guesses here?
What was it? He's had at least 12 in every game?
12 DraftKings points in every game except one, right? And that one, all right, he had 12, and then all his other games are over 15.
I'm stumped, man. I mean, who are you talking about here?
I am disappointed in you, D-Bro. It is your boy, Will Fuller, the fifth. Right.
Oh! Will Fuller.
He hid in plain sight.
$6,200, right? and is projected ownership right now for me is 6%. How do you not play this guy this week? How do you not play this? Obviously, things change as the week progresses. But he's getting zero love. And why? Because everyone thinks that New England Patriots are still this big dog, mighty Patriots defense from last year with Thomas Brady, the noodle arm thrower. All right, this defense is done. They're toast. Put a fork in them. Put a fork in this team, unfortunately. I was cheering for Cam. But no, I'm playing Will Fuller. Duke Johnson is interesting, but he's coming in at over 20% projected ownership. So I'll pass on that. I know it's 5,400, though. It's a good salary saver. I'll eat the chalk in a few lineups. But, again, I'm more of like a 15-lineup guy, putting in main lineups and then Millie. I can't get behind being overexposed to Duke Johnson. For me, it's Will Fuller and Jacoby Myers, like you guys are saying. Jacoby Myers is also projecting over 25% ownership, but give me the leverage with Will Fuller here. $6,200 on DraftKings. He's way too underpriced. For some reason, DraftKings hates Will Fuller and Deontay Johnson, and I have no idea why.
And Keenan Allen, but they start to like him a little bit more the last couple weeks. It took them, like, they went on a couple dates, and they're like, oh, shit, we like this guy. And
they still hate Brandon Cooks. They still hate that man.
Bro, 5,200 is egregious. He's had at least eight targets in each of the last five games. That is so egregious.
Eight targets, 9, 9, 9, 12, right? It's ridiculous. Like, Brandon Cooks, and he had a ton of targets in this win game last game. So did Will Fuller, which his one game where he had under 12 DraftKings points was last week, and he still got eight, right? Obviously, that's not what you want, but still, he managed something. So for me, I think it is game stack viable in the sense of you go Deshaun Watson with Fuller and Cooks and bring it back with Myers.
Yeah, Fuller.
That's what I'm targeting. Yeah.
Fuller has had 100 yards or a touchdown in all but two games. One was the win game and like 30, 40 mile an hour wins last week. And the other was the Ravens game where he played like 60% of snaps, was in and out of the game with an injury. So,
yeah,
he's locked in. Brandon Cooks is way too cheap at 5,200. Mm-hmm. Debro talked about New England's vulnerable in the slot. And Randall Cobb's their main slot receiver, but Cooks moves in there a little bit. Jacoby Myers, like 4,900. Could Julian Edelman finally come back this week? Maybe, but he wasn't designated from return yet, I don't believe. So, and even if he did, I mean, 40% target share or more in each of the last 3 weeks for Jacoby Myers, and he's 4,900. So it's just kind of...
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Man. Yeah, I love this game. I think that this game is definitely, it's prime to shoot out, man. And I understand people wanting to go Cam. My whole problem with Cam is that you're wanting all the rushing equity because the guy's not – they get into the red zone and they're running the ball. Like, they're not throwing for anything. Like, as good as Jacoby Myers has been, he's only got two red zone targets after this breakout and stuff. So you're playing him for the price. You're playing him for the targets. You're playing him for the yardage. And if he gets into the end zone, then that's great, but that's not necessarily the reason you're playing him. I just can't get behind Cam because – like, we don't have a ceiling.
Just play Watson for 300 more.
Exactly. You have a ceiling with Watson. Like Watson's floor this season has been damn close to what Cam's ceiling has been. Like, Cam is like, if he gets you 25 points, maybe even 30, that's wonderful. Okay? But he's not cheap. That's the other thing. He's not cheap on this slate. So why are you not just going to pay it to Watson, who legit has a 40-point ceiling and can crush people, especially with all of these cheap quarterbacks on the week? You want a guy that, in his range of outcomes, has a 40-point ceiling, and I don't see that from Cam. I mean, Javi, am I wrong? Like, could you see Cam get 40 points in this game, or is that, like, just totally out of his range of outcomes?
No, he
has zero chance, dude.
His MVP, that's not happening. As bad as the Texans defense is, no, it's not going to happen. I can see a 40-point game from Watson. It's not likely, but it could happen. You never know. I don't think it would be this game. But again, if you double stack here, bring it back with Myers and do a full game stack, I'm okay with that. I think Watson could get 25-30 easily, though.
Dude, Cam Newton is one of my favorite players in the history of the NFL. He has zero chance of getting 40 fantasy points in any game the rest of the year. Because what was the game he almost did it in? The Seattle game, right? He had like 34, I think, or 38 on DraftKings. That he threw the ball 44 times. Like, he has two passing touchdowns this year? Like,
yep, that's
I understand the rushing is going to give him a floor, but yeah, he has no shot at it. And for me, like $300 more, I'll just play Deshaun Watson.
Exactly. I can understand if Cam was somewhere in the mid 5Ks or like he was in the high 5K, but he's not that cheap. It's not like you pull up the price and you're like, woo, yeah, I'd get behind Cam. Let's go. And then you pull up price and you're like, never mind. Like, he's around all the other guys that have a higher ceiling than what he carries this year. But yeah, I love this game, man. So moving on to a game that I don't know if I love this game. I kind of this game's kind of nasty, man. The Eagles are heading to Cleveland. The over-under, surprisingly, is set at 47.5. Cleveland is favored by 3. Javi, who's standing out here, man? Are you willing to play anybody from this game, even like some mini correlations here? Or is this game, like, are you kind of fading this game?
Oh, man, this is a tough game, to say the least. I'm off the running backs for the most part. I think Miles Sanders is sneaky, but he's coming in at 12% projected ownership, so he's not sneaky anymore. He might be viable and if you're doing over 10 lineups. For me, I think I'm going to touch on Jarvis Landry a little bit. I think he's enticing enough ever since OBJ. Again, take out the win game last week. That was tough against the Texans. He had 11 targets, though, in his first game without OBJ. I think that could be a sign of things to come, especially against this Eagles defense. I think he's enticing at 5,500. We can go back to the well with Jalen Reagor. I've been hearing chats from you on Twitter and others. You know, he's getting some talk about him. He's seen over 6 targets the last 2 games. I think that's enticing enough. I think we know Carson Wentz is not good at this football game, even though people think he is. But I think Reagor is a sneaky option at 4,300. I really want to go back to the well with Rashard Higgins. You know, again, the win game last week, he was actually their leading receiver. And then the week before, he burned us. Like, he was one of my must-haves. And I think that this is still a prime spot for him to take over that number 2 receiver role in my eyes. But I don't know. I might need to wait and see a game. But this could be the week with, you know, with projected ownership under 1%. I think Rashard Higgins could be viable. No one's going to play him. I'm okay with a one-off there, but I think if I had the lean, it'd be Landry 1, Reagor 2, Higgins 3, and that's about it. I mean, I don't like anything else. This game's kind of gross to me. I mean, we can go back to the well with Austin Hooper. I think that's sneaky from a tight end perspective, but again, I feel gross with this game.
Where do you have Austin Hooper coming in at? Because at least my lean in this game, I don't want to stack this game up. I mean, we know that the Browns running back situation is going to be split straight down the middle. Miles Sanders, for all the things that I love, Cleveland is not a run defense I want to attack, and they're doing all kinds of weird crap on the ground, like touchdown-wise and what they're doing in the red zone. It's probably not a guy that I go back to, even though I loved him. He just ran so bad.
Not to mention Jordan Howard's now on the team.
Don't go there.
I'm just saying he's on the team.
Nobody care about no Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard is not a thing. Don't nobody care about no Jordan Howard.
The Eagles do. But, although Corey Clement was on the COVID list, God, I'm sure that has more to do with it.
I love when we get on this podcast that Adam probably like watches my timeline and then pulls up ways to troll me.
Do you understand how many times because I had the Thursday night game on in the background? Do you know how many times on the pregame show they showed that damn Hail Mary? I'm a little upset right now, so I'm sorry. Let me live, bro.
Hey, man, I got to look. I will never hate on the piss and vinegar in your veins. I love it, dude. Getting back to this, where do you see Austin Hooper coming in at for ownership? Oh, God,
I have him around 8%.
No, that's higher than I thought.
Yeah, and Goddard's coming in around 10%.
I like Goddard.
Okay. He burned a lot of people last week. Yeah, I think Goddard at 38. I think any of these tight ends are viable. But again, if I'm going to go Landry, I don't want to go Hooper. If I go Landry, I wouldn't mind going Goddard more than anything else, or going even Reagor. But again, guys, I have that weird feeling. You know, you get that feeling after you eat some delicious pho. Derek Brown.
It's called indigestion.
No, that might be the wine speaking. No, I think I have a feeling about Rashard Higgins. Again, OBJ went out that game before against Cincinnati, and Higgins went off. 6 receptions, 6 targets, 110 yards. And then he comes in, and we kind of liked him a little bit. He still came in lower owned. He only saw 3 targets, 1 reception, 14 yards. And then last week, he saw 4 targets. So I think we're going to see him in if I had a prediction, he's going to see over 5 targets. He could get 4 or 5 receptions, and he could hit over 100 yards again. I don't know. Call it that weird feeling inside you. It could be indigestion or the wine, though, Debo.
So my leans in this game, if I'm going to play mini correlations, like for me, it's I think Travis Fulgham's in play. The receiver I want, if I'm going to go to the Eagles side, is Jalen Reagor. For all the reasons y'all mentioned, like he's getting the targets, he's getting the routes. I think that we are just waiting for the explosion from him. I'm not worried about Denzel Ward. Yes, I know Ward is fast. He can keep up with Reagor on the outside, but Ward's not been good this year. Like 44 targets, 27 catches allowed, 4 touchdowns, and a 103 passer rating. So for me, it's a mini correlation in this game probably with Reagor, and I'm going to pair him with Hooper on the other side. As bad as Hooper was, and we can talk about all the things about the monsoon and what have you, and he didn't pay off, he's still dirt cheap. Like, he's 3,900. He ran a route on 81% of Baker's dropbacks last week. He was the only tight end to run routes last week. So it's not like he's splitting this down the middle or like we saw in previous weeks with Harrison Bryant and Njoku. Hooper's the guy, and the Eagles have not been able to cover the tight end. Like, they've been terrible against tight ends. 4th most DK points per game allowed, 28th in DVOA versus the tight end position. So I think that this is a spot you can go back to Hooper. The only reason I would, my interest level in Hooper is if I have to drop down in price to fit in the dudes and other spots and play a mini here with Reagor and Hooper, it's so ridiculously cheap. I think that you can make up, because I said I love Mark Andrews, and I don't think anybody can match his ceiling, but if you're doing this and you're playing parts from this game that are stupid cheap, you can do that and make up points elsewhere in your lineups with other plays and leverage and stuff. So it's like Hooper doesn't have to match Andrews to still be a good play on this slate and still pay off, especially at his price tag. But Adam, I doubt this is a game you're willing to stack, but where are you at on this?
My favorite play from this game is Dallas Goedert, especially if Zach Ertz isn't back. I know they designated him for return. I think he participated in practice Wednesday, but just because they designated him for return, they can activate him and still not play him. They just have to do it before, 21 days, or else he's on IR the rest of the year. So, Goedert, he hasn't had that, explosive game since returning from his injury, but he's running a ton of routes. He's 3,800 on a bad week for tight ends. Cleveland, the middle of the field is where you want to target them mostly. 4 of Goddard's 6 targets last week came from the slot. And Cleveland, they allowed the most slot touchdowns per game in the NFL, 3rd most slot yards per game at over 84, 4th most receptions per game to the slot, and 2nd most fantasy points per game to the slot. So I think Goddard has the best kind of individual matchup, and I like his potential at, 3,900? 3,800. I just think, outside of Mark Andrews, like, he'll probably be the next place I go at tight end. And then I'm kind of really just meh on the rest of this game, right? Like, Baker doesn't throw enough to really warrant consideration. Carson Wentz is throwing to the opposing teams more than his own receivers, so I don't think that helps for fantasy. I like Fulgham as a player, but I just want to target the middle of the field against this Cleveland defense, and that's why I like Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, I could definitely get behind that, man. All right, moving on to a game that I think is – I could be wrong here, but I think this game is going to be uber popular. The Falcons are heading to New Orleans. The over-under is set at 52. New Orleans is favored by 4. Am I right, Javi? Do you think this game is going to be really popular, and are you willing to play Jameis Winston?
Oh, man, talk about a guy who throws more to the opposing team, right? But that's Jameis Winston, right? That's his claim to fame. He has a lot of turnovers, but he throws a lot of touchdowns, too. I'm scared of this game. I'll be honest, guys. I think the main target here for me is Alvin Kamara more than anybody else. He's projecting – I get it, he's 9,200. He's projecting under 10% ownership. Again, I think this changes throughout the week, but if that's the case – I love Kamara at that ownership. I think that's a sneaky play in what shouldn't be a sneaky game. I think 52 total over under right now for this game. So in the beginning when I first started making my lineups, I think you and I were talking. I had some Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara in there, but I don't know. I Jameis scares the crap out of me. So for me, it's really going the Alvin Kamara route. You know, you can beat New Orleans via the passing game more than the running game. So I do want to target, you know, Julio or Ridley. Yeah, this could be a good spot for both of them, but they're so expensive. I don't know what to do with this game, D-Bro. They're projecting for low ownership right now. The only one showing up over 10% is Michael Thomas. Jameis Winston still projects about 9% ownership. So it's like it could work out. But again, you're coming with four touchdowns. You're throwing four interceptions too. So I don't know. We'll see.
This is what you do in this game, by the way, D-Bro.
Okay.
You go over on FanDuel and you play Taysom Hill.
Oh God! Don't go there.
I'm dead serious. I think he's going to get more. Okay, let's not lead with that. Let's lead with the fact that Alvin Kamara is on the injury report. 2 weeks ago, he suffered like a really, really minor foot injury. He kind of compared it to like stubbing your toe. Said he'd be fine. He missed practice that Wednesday, then was full the rest of the week. Was fine last week, and then this week it pops up again on Wednesday. Didn't practice, or was limited Wednesday. Thursday didn't practice. He said after it's the same thing that he's been dealing with. He's fine. He'll be good. So, you know, if he's back at limited or full on Friday, expect him to play. I expect him to play since it's the same injury that he was dealing with, and he's never said it was serious. But obviously, if something happens where he doesn't play, I mean, just lock in Latavius Murray, because Latavius Murray, when he starts in the Saints offense, is like a top seven player in fantasy. He had two starts last year. He had 31 touches a game. So. But yeah, I expect Kamara to play, and Atlanta's kind of gone back to allowing a ton of receptions to running backs this year with that zone defense. So yeah, you lock him in. And then, yeah, Jameis scares me, not just because it's Jameis, but like, it's Thursday night. They have yet to name a starting quarterback. They'll probably do it Friday afternoon, but like, the fact that they didn't just come out and say, oh, the guy that actually plays quarterback isn't starting with Drew Brees out. Like, they're still opening the door for Taysom Hill. Maybe they run some different packages where Taysom is taking more snaps under center. I don't know. Like, when the week started, I thought Jameis Winston would be a really, really strong play. But the more I look at it and the cheaper quarterbacks under him, I don't think I'm going to have a lot of Jameis outside of game stacks in this one.
I think the only way that you play it is by game or play Jameis's game stack in this thing. Like, So I got some concerns, and I actually think this game is one that if I'm going to go gravitate this route, I'm more likely to play it as a mini, and a lot of these guys are not necessarily one-offs for me. Again, we need to watch where ownership comes in on Sunday for this, because there are parts and pieces that I like out of this game. I think part of it is that we don't know what the Saints are going to do with Jameis under center. There's a lot of different paths, and yes, the Falcons have been terrible. Yes, they're right behind Seattle in like nearly damn every passing category as being one of the worst teams in the NFL. I'm not going to fight anybody on that. But you look at the second half of last week, and yes, I know that the Saints were winning. They weren't like just murder row like the freaking 49ers. It wasn't like they were up 40-10, though. And you look at what they were doing, though. They only passed the ball on 37% of their plays. They ran the ball on 63%. So I don't know if we necessarily see this Jameis airing it out like on every damn passing attempt.
No, they're not at all, I guarantee you.
I think that they could ease him in, or they could limit him, and it could be a lot of checkdowns. The Saints are playing extremely slow this year. Like, they're 29th in neutral pace, they're 26th in total pace. This game could disappoint, and I guess my favorite play, and part of this is, like, people want to play Kamara, and I love Kamara, and I get the play, and if he comes in low on, yes, I can get behind it. The Falcons have actually been sneaky good as far as a run defense. Like, they're 6th in adjusted line yards. They're 6th in open field yards. They've allowed the second fewest rushing yards this season. The 14th fewest receiving yards to opposing running backs. Like, they've given up a lot of receiving touchdowns, but it's not like they're getting burned all over the field by opposing running backs. So there is a way where this game could disappoint. Kamara could not pay off in his ownership, although, like, I'm not going to tell anybody not to play that guy, because the fact of it is like, just like you saw last week, His touchdown equity in this offense is insane. He could go for two or three touchdowns in any spot. So if he's going to come in, like Javi's talking about, low-owned, then yes, he's absolutely in play. But on the Saints side of the ball, I don't know where the damn ball's going to go. Like, Jared Cook is in a smash spot. Like, there is not a worse defense in the NFL versus tight ends right now than the Falcons. They're first in touchdowns allowed to tight ends, second in yards. So Jared Cook could have himself a game. I don't know. Michael Thomas could have himself a game. Like, there's a lot of different ways that this game could unfold. And that almost leads me to say, well, then do you play the other side of this game and go Matt Ryan because you know they can't run the damn ball?
Yep.
They're not going to be able to. I actually have a little more interest on the other side of the ball with Matt Ryan because I think Julio is in a great spot. Like, Javi, where do you have Julio coming in at?
Let's see. Good question. I have Julio. So the other one at like 15% ownership is Michael Thomas, and he scares the crap out of me because Jameis might be under center. But I have Julio at under 9%, a little under 9% right now.
And I see, so Julio chalk week, that's not when you play Julio. Julio sub 10%? Yes, I got some interest in Julio. Like, Marshawn Lattimore has not been good this year. He's given up 5 touchdowns in his coverage and a 126 passer rating. Julio could eat him up here, especially if we're talking about Calvin Ridley is definitely not 100%. So this game overall feels like one I would much rather play as like a mini stack around another stack or a game stack that I have, as opposed to full stacking this game. But if I am going to full stack this game, I actually lean towards the Atlanta side. But Adam, would you stack Atlanta in the spot?
Yeah, I love the Atlanta passing game here. 80% of the touchdowns allowed by the Saints this year have come via the pass. That's the highest rate in the NFL. We know they're an elite run defense. We know Todd Gurley is absolutely just totally washed. If you're defending the Falcons, just literally stack the box and not stack the box, but like literally if they run the ball, just be like, let Todd Gurley bounce outside because you'll catch him. But yeah, like I love targeting the Saints secondary because they're a pass funnel. And Matt Ryan, the only thing that's going to be annoying is like the Falcons are still pretty run heavy and close, but the Saints, like I said, they don't give up a lot of rushing touchdowns. So Matt Ryan, I play Julio pretty much every week because I love Julio, and there's people legitimately don't like playing him, so there's always some sort of leverage you can gain. And yeah, Calvin Ridley was limited in practice again Thursday, but they're saying, I think the Falcons team website said he's still like not progressing very well, so he could easily sit again. And my third tight end in my player pool this week is going to be Hayden Hurst, who nobody likes because he doesn't have these like 8 for 98 and 2 touchdown games, but how many tight ends not named Travis Kelce and George Kittle do? Hayden Hurst is 5th among all tight ends in routes run. He has had at least 50 receiving yards in 4 straight games. He is going to get 7 or 8 targets. The Saints defense has been vulnerable to tight ends. They're bottom 5 in receptions and targets per game in the position. And we talked about it being a pass funnel. So especially if Ridley's out, like I could easily see a lineup build where I go Ryan, Julio, Hurst and run it back with Kamara.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where most of my interest lies in this game. If I am going to gravitate or if I do get to playing any kind of like mini stacks out of this game. All right, moving on to Cincinnati is heading to take on the Washington Footballs. The over-under is set at 47. Washington's actually favored by 1.5 in this game. Javi, I know you've been on Antonio Gibson in previous weeks. Is that a spot you're going back to?
Yeah. I mean, Cincinnati's defense is not good, right? They're one of the worst in the league. It seems like every week this team is smashed. And look what Big Ben just did against them. And Big Ben, I get he's playing well, but, you know, they're getting very exposed on the ground and in the air. So I'm okay going back to Antonio Gibson. He crushed last week at very low ownership, and he's coming in under 10% projected ownership again. It looks like Joe Mixon's not good to go again. So Giovanni Bernard, as gross as it sounds, could be viable, but I lean more Gibson more than anything else. And then how can we forget our boy, scary Terry McLaurin, right? The guy is a target machine. He's seen over 8 targets in 4 straight games. He's seen over 8 targets in 5 of his last, or sorry, 6 of his last 7. So the guy's a target machine. I was a little worried about it with Alex Smith under center, but I think it's still a good spot here for Terry McLaurin against the Cincinnati team, who just got shredded by Big Ben. So I love Terry McLaurin. I love actually this Washington team in general, because I also have some love to Logan Thomas. I get it. He's burned us more weeks than not. But he saw 6 targets last week with Alex Smith under center. He scored over 10 fantasy points. So I think you can go back to the well, especially with seeing how bad the Cincinnati defense is. As for Cincinnati, it seems like T. Higgins is a reception machine, right? The guy is it seems like he's now Joe Burrow's favorite target, right? He's seen over 8 targets in 7 of his last 8 games, right? And then the one game that he did see over 7 targets, he saw 5 targets, and it seems like he catches more than 50% of those targets. So he's in a good spot against the Washington team. Washington defense is sneaky good though, especially their front 7. So it does worry me. It does come with some worry from my standpoint, but I think this has sneaky game stack written all over it, guys. That's just my 2 cents, D-Bro.
I'm with you. So you're giving some love to F1, and you're giving love to Logan Thomas. I have actually, in one of my placeholders right now, I have an Alex Smith stack right now. Are you crazy enough to ride with me? Like, are you considering playing Alex Smith?
If I'm writing a P.J. Walker stack, D-Bro, most likely, I will write an Alex Smith stack with you. Yeah, I love it. 5,300 against Cincinnati. Listen, I'm a big Alex Smith fan now. That guy's gone through so much adversity. He's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. He better win Comeback Player of the Year. The guy was basically was done playing football because of the gruesome injury he had. And look at where this guy is today. I'm a big fan. It might be my bias hat, but how can I be biased if I'm a Cowboys fan and this is a rival of mine? I love Alex Smith. I think this is a great spot for him. He's getting a little bit more love than I want. He's projecting over 7% ownership, but I don't care. That's still pretty low. It's pretty even across the board for QB. Let's play Alex Smith, D-Bro. I'm in.
Dude, look, he's thrown for 300 or more yards in back-to-back games. The only thing we need is the touchdowns there. That's the only part or piece that we haven't gotten yet. And I think there's a lot of parts that I like out of this game. Like, if you're going to go Alex Smith, Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, I'm not including, obviously, Antonio Gibson does not correlate well, then fine. Play Antonio Gibson in other lineups and don't run the pass catchers. That's fine, because if they don't get there, Gibson does. Vice versa. I like a lot of those parts and pieces, and we're talking about the Bengals' cornerback unit is all types of banged up. Like Mackenzie Alexander, their slot corner's been missing some practice, as well as their opposite starting corner, opposite of William Jackson. Whoever is going to be there, they've had multiple guys out of practice this week. So it's all to say that this entire secondary is terrible for Cincinnati. Their guys are hurt. The guys that could be backups that are in there this week, and you need to monitor this situation all the way up to Sunday. But even if they got all their starters, none of their starters are good. We know where the ball is going in Washington. It's going to go to Gibson. If they're down, it's going to go to McKissick. So even if you want to get wild and you want to run him, I don't really go that way, only because I think last week was really the true ceiling week we see out of him, and that ceiling is not that damn high. So I'm more likely to go McLaurin, Gibson, or Logan Thomas in the spot because Cincinnati's been terrible against tight ends. They're giving up the third most DK points per game. I mean, before Eric Ebron and Jonnu Smith threw up absolute just stink bombs, you had Njoku and Bryant. That was the mega haymaker. Like, they went for 3 touchdowns. That's what the week where everybody was like, which one do you play? And the answer was both or either. Trey Burton had his fantastic day versus them. Mark Andrews went for 56 and a touchdown. So I love a lot of the parts for Washington on the Cincinnati side. T. Higgins missed a practice with an illness. We got to monitor that. But that's the way I go if I'm going to go Cincinnati. And I could even get behind going Burrow. Yes, Washington has been better as a pass defense, but Kendall Fuller, as good as he was to start the season, has been beatable. It's like since week 6, 18 targets, 12 receptions, 2 touchdowns allowed, and a 107 passer rating. So he started off the season amazingly well, and now we're seeing some shades of every other time in his career, basically, Kendall Fuller. So it's all to say that if you're not really that great of a cornerback, eventually people are going to know, they're going to find out, and you're going to be found, man. So I like both sides of this game. Adam, are you willing to go Burrow, or where do you stand with this game? Are you going to stack it up?
So, two things. One, while you guys were talking, I promise I was listening, but I also was tilting because DK Metcalf had the ball hit him directly in the face for a touchdown. secondly, Joe Burrow is the best quarterback player in this league. He is significant. He's probably $600 too cheap. This guy throws the ball 40 times every single week. He's had the 300-yard bonus on DraftKings in 5 of 8 games. I know he had a bad game last week, but, like, dude, it's Pittsburgh. Like, with his terrible offensive line, and yes, I understand Washington's front seven is good too, but, like, that's not going to be enough for me not to play Joe Burrow at 5,500. Washington's been playing a little bit faster lately, and we know that with how high of a volume passing offense Cincinnati is, that slows the game down. I really, 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 like, don't understand why Joe Burrow is priced where he is. So he's going to be one of my most popular quarterbacks. This is the game to go to if you want to spend down a quarterback, though, because we talked about Alex Smith. I think he's perfectly in play at 5,300. Logan Thomas, I like, too. Like, I lied. There's 4 tight ends in my player pool. Logan Thomas would be the 4th. I mean, still leads all tight ends in routes run. He's 3,300. He's going to see, you know, 6 targets like he's seen each of the last 2 games, potentially more. And the Bengals have been bad against tight ends. Like, I like a lot of plays in this game. Terry McLaurin's, like, as safe as it gets at receiver. Gibson's still really fairly priced at 5,800. We talked about, I think Tyler Boyd is in a great spot. And I think T. Higgins can kind of win against anybody. And then Burrow's too cheap. The question is, do we play Gio Bernard at all at 5,500? That's literally the only question I have from this game. Because I don't think Mixon's going to play. And Gio's going to give, he's averaging, I think, 17 touches per game in starts this season. Which is good.
My answer is no. I'm not playing Gio this week. Like, yeah. We're seeing Samaje Perine and Travion Williams factor in a little bit. The other thing about it is Washington, the Cincinnati O-line is not good. Washington has been able to actually stop opposing running backs. I think it's a trap. I have not played Gio once this year. And this is not a spot where I'm willing to go. So, like, even if Joe Mixon, and I'll phrase this just like I did with Duke. If Joe Mixon was playing in this spot, would you play Joe Mixon? And my answer is no.
We've talked about this. I played Joe Mixon in spots where you weren't on him in the past, so I might, but it really depends on what his price. Like, if he was 5,500 in this spot, I'd play him.
Javi, would you play any Gio? Or are you on Gio, or are you just like, nah, I'm good?
I mean, I haven't done it either, so I'm more on the nah side. I believe in this Washington run defense more than anything. I don't believe in their pass defense. I think it's okay to fade Gio in this spot. And he's getting over 15% projected ownership right now. And it's early in the week. Maybe it changes, but that's too high for my blood.
Yeah, I don't see a ceiling with Gio. Like, the times where he's gotten, like, 20 points, he luck boxed a freaking, like, receiving touchdown. I don't want to count on that. Like, with running backs, I want efficiency. I want volume. I want them in spots where they can break off big runs or they can have big plays if they're not going to see a ton of volume. So, and I just don't see that in this spot for Gio. For me, you're literally hoping like he's this week's Wayne Gallman and he has the most atrocious stat line and he just happens to score twice. And then you're like, woo, it's a good play. And it's really not a good play. But then you can just lie to yourself and tell yourself it's a good play. So, anyway, that is going to be it for our game-by-game DFS breakdown for this week. Like we're saying, you've got to go follow Javi on Twitter at jperlezodfs. You need to head over to ftndaily.com and check us out there. We're going to turn off the mics and head straight over there for the rest of this slate going game-by-game. Check all of that out. Javi, what do you got going on at FTN Daily? Like, what articles do you still have to drop this week?
What don't I have, D-Bro? That's the question. No, I got a lot going on. You know, esports is on, like, every day, so I got that going. But from an NFL perspective, I have my must-haves. you know, spelled with my name. I think it's clever. Thank you, Kalachi, for that. But I'll have that basically going around my core plays for the week and who I'm going to focus on in more than 50% of my lineups. It's usually around four or five guys around football. And then I'll be on the NFL pre-lock or, yeah, the pre-lock show on Sunday on FTNDaily.com. And then, D-Bro, you're like me. We live on Discord 24/7. So you sign up there, you'll get that expert advice from both of us. Oh, and Adam, I guess, too.
Adam's in there all the time, man. We are constantly in the Discord. Like we're saying, you got to get signed up for FTNDaily.com right now. Use the promo code FTC to get the rest of this on the premium side behind the paywall for our game-by-game as well as, yes, everybody that is in there as a sub knows that Saturday nights are lit. All of our experts are always in there talking plays, punts, stacks, everything while we're sitting there imbibing on a few adult beverages. So for all these things, head over to the site. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.